the paraduma, the red heifer. It's not just a restaurant in Yerushalayim. It's a great mitzvah. The most amazing mitzvahs in the Torah. One that the Torah introduces as a chok, a mitzvah whose performance and necessity is not understood by man. We don't understand it. What's this mitzvah all about? On the other hand, Rashi quotes Rav Moshe Hadarshan. There's also a Tosfos like this in Moed Katan, in Maseches Moed Katan. He explains how every stage of the process of the Paraduma atones for the Cheira Egel, the sin of the golden calf. So which one is it? Is the purpose to atone for the sin of the golden calf? Or we don't know the purpose. We don't understand anything about this mitzvah. What's the deal over here? So in order to understand, to answer this question, we have to give a little bit of a background to the sin of the golden calf. Just before Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai, he informed Bnei Yisrael that he would come back down, he would descend in another 40 days. They thought that the day that he ascended, the day that he went up, was counted in the 40 days. But his intention was 40 full days, days that are followed by a night. And therefore there was a miscalculation. He was supposed to come down on the 17th day of Tammuz, a day that's coming up in around a week from now. And instead, on the 16th day of Tammuz, they thought that's when he was really supposed to come. They were one day off. And Rashi brings down the Chazal that there was the Satan came, mixed up the world, made everything very dark, and they thought that Moshe had died. So they went, Bnei Yisrael went, to build this golden calf to help serve God through that. And the question is, what's going on over here? A golden calf? The Jewish people just were at Har Sinai. They just experienced Hashem. And now they're believing in golden calves. What happened here? How could they worship Avodah Zarah? What happened to Hashem? Their best friend. And the Mefarshim explained, the Kuzari leads the way over here. And he says, no. Actually, Bnei Yisrael were right on the money by building the golden calf. They did exactly what was up in the heavens, high up there, perhaps even right. How's that? Because they were expecting Moshe to come down with the Luchos, to build an Aron, and then through that, they'd be able to channel their Avodas Hashem towards Hashem. Of course, there's no one else to worship but Hashem. But they were expecting something physical over here in this world that they'd be able to channel their Avodas Hashem, their service of God, through. In fact, the Beis Halevi adds on, that Moshe was that person till now. Jewish people never were one-on-one direct with God. There was always through some intermediary, someone physical or something physical over here that they'd be able to worship Hashem through. And in fact, that was the purpose of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a place where Hashem would dwell, a place in this world that we'd be able to connect to Hashem through the Mishkan. So really, when they built the golden calf, they weren't worshiping the golden calf. The point was to have this intermediary. Moshe's gone. There's no Luchos here. There's no Aaron. What do we do? Oh, golden calf. So in fact, they were right in what they did. So what was the grave sin? Rashi says that till this day, every punishment that we ever have has some inkling of a punishment of the golden calf. That's pretty bad, right? So what is that? Well, so bad. They were right. They figured out exactly what was supposed to be. So the answer is, the Beis Halevi explains, the Kuzari as well, that what they did, their sin, was they made a physical entity in order to channel their Avodas Hashem, their service of God, without ever having been commanded to do so. The problem, metaphysically perhaps, they were right. The problem was, God never commanded them to go ahead and do this. The only way that a person could connect to Hashem, that a person could have that relationship, is through the means that the Torah commands us to do so, that Hashem commands us to do so. Before the Torah was given, the Nefesh HaChaim writes, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, that the Avos, our forefathers, connected to Hashem in the way that they were able to see was the correct way. But once the Torah is given, we're given the instructions, those instructions are the ways that we are able to connect to Hashem. Now let's turn back to the Par Aduma in order to answer our original question. The Meshech Chachma has a very interesting insight. He proves in the beginning of the Gemara in Maseches Yuma that there's a biblical mitzvah to read the parshios, read the instructions in the Torah, about commanding us to do the mitzvah of Par Aduma prior to our actual performance of the mitzvah. Okay, that means we have to take out our siddur, take out our chumash, start reading Zos Chukas HaTorah, and then right away we go ahead and we start the process of the Par Aduma. There's a mitzvah like that. So the question is, we don't have no other mitzvah in the Torah is like that. Before our tefillin, we put our tefillin on, there's no mitzvah to go ahead, to go ahead and read the parshios in the Torah, the instructions in the Torah about tefillin, and then put it on. Okay, some people like to do that. It's a custom. But there's no obligation to go ahead and do that. Why is there an obligation to go and read the parshios about the Par Aduma before we do the mitzvah, before we perform the mitzvah? And if Shlomo Fisher, one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of our generation, brilliant Torah giant, explains in his Sefer, in the Drashos Beis Yishai, that the answer is because of what we just explained. That the way to perform the Par Aduma is because we have absolutely no reason why we're doing it. We're doing it because Hashem commanded to do so. That's the only reason. It's a chok. We don't understand it. So what we do, how do we show that? We read the instructions and immediately go ahead and do it. We don't read the instructions and say, how does that fit in with my life? What am I going to do with that piece of information? How is that going to make me a better person? No. We take the instructions and we go and we perform the mitzvah right away. Immediate. The reason we're doing the Par Aduma, the reason we're performing it is because Hashem told us to do so. And by doing so, the Beis Halevi explains, that is what atones for the sin of the golden calf. It's not that the purpose of the Par Aduma is to atone for the golden calf. But if we perform the mitzvah in a way that we're doing it, we have no reason, we don't know why we're doing it. We're doing it because Hashem commanded to do so. That atones for the mitzvah of the sin of the golden calf. Because the sin of the golden calf was that we were making up our own venues, our own ways to go ahead and connect with Hashem. The sin was that Hashem didn't tell us to do it. That isn't the way that Hashem wants us to connect. So the way we atone by doing so is by doing the Par Aduma mitzvah. We don't understand why we're doing it. We're doing it because Hashem commanded us to do so. If we do it with that intention, we are able to go directly and to connect with Hashem and to atone for that sin where we weren't able to connect to Hashem because we were picking our own venues. The Beis Halevi shows us an amazing thing. The Mishkan is not for now, but the Mishkan also atoned for the sin of the golden calf. But when the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Shkalim wants to tell us that the Mishkan atoned for the golden calf, it picks one part of the Mishkan and one part only. And that is the kapores, the covering the lid of the aron. He says, the lid of the aron, that atones for the sin of the golden calf. And the Beis Halevi says, well, why? And just read Rashi, the Rambans, throughout the Chumash at the end of Sefer Shmos. And it keeps on telling you, all the gold that they gave was golden calf, gold for the Mishkan. There were so many things that were atoning for the sin of the golden calf. Why the lid of the aron? So the Beis Halevi explains, because what was attached one piece with the lid of the Aron, the Kruvim. The two images on top, it was made out of one piece of gold with this lid. They punched from the bottom the image of these Kruvim that were sitting on top. One of the Kruvim represented the Jewish people. The other Kruv, represented Hashem. As the Gemara in Yuma says, that when the Jewish people would come up to the Beis HaMikdash, they would see the Kruvim hugging each other, embracing each other, because of the intense love between the Jewish people and Hashem. They represented Hashem. The Torah tells us that how should these Kruvim be situated? The Pasuk says in Perek Chaf Hey, Pasuk Chaf in Sefer Shmos, El HaKapores, towards the Kapores, towards the lid, you Pnei HaKruvim. The faces of the Kruvim should be facing. They had to face the lid. They had to face the Torah that was under the lid. The only way that there could be a relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem is only if they're facing the lid. Only if they're facing the Torah inside. Sometimes people feel that a certain way of acting, a certain red band on your hand is going to connect you to God. It just feels right. I feel God when I go ahead and I perform this action. But the Torah is teaching us that that's the sin of the golden calf. The only way that we could connect, the only way that we could develop that intense, awesome relationship with Hashem is only if we follow the instructions of the Torah. If we follow the mitzvos. Hashem gives us the way. Here, I love you. Connect to me. You know, it's like trying to connect to your wife because of the ways that you think she wants you to connect. And she tells you she wants the bracelet. You get her the bracelet. You know, I think she might want a ring. She told you 50 times she wants a bracelet. No, I want the ring. It feels like that's the right thing for her. You go and you connect in the way that you get the instructions, in the way that you know is the way to connect. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that that's the reason the mitzvah of Paraduma was given before Har Sinai. It was given at Marah. What happened at Marah? The waters were bitter. The Jewish people complained. It's not filtered. So what did they do? They threw a tree that also isn't sweet into these bitter waters, and poof, the waters were sweet. Ha! How'd that happen? Because Hashem said that I'll take this bitter thing and throw it into the bitter waters, and it'll become sweet. That is given at Marah. The Parah Adumah is given at Marah because it's coming to teach us that the way for the world, the way for our lives to be sweet, for the way for us to experience the sweetness of the connection with Hashem is when it's the command of Hashem, when it's the directive of Hashem, which is what we're fulfilling. Hashem said this branch is going to go into the water and become sweet. That's what makes it sweet. So we always have to think about this idea in all of our actions in life. All of us are striving for the greatest, most intense connection with Hashem. And we have to evaluate all our actions. Why is it what we're doing that we're doing? Is it because it feels good for us? Or is this because this is the right thing to do? And if we're zoche, if we merit to be able to achieve this proper mindset, we'll all be zoche to an awesome, intense, amazing relationship with Hashem. Shabbos.